The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Jamie's off this week. He usually takes the bye weeks off. And obviously, the Rough Riders got a bye week after a big win on Saturday, 4-0. We'll still take your texts and your calls on the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. Maybe you got a grade from this past weekend you want to throw at us. And this is the discussion that we're going to have through the course of the afternoon as well. Is this a 4-0 team? Are the Rough Riders, the team you're seeing on the field right now, are they a 4-0 team? They got four wins. Is this a 4-0 team? All right. We're on the cusp of NHL free agency tomorrow at noon Eastern time. That's 10 a.m. our time. Lots of activity today and over the last little while to have that discussion and a few others. We are joined by John Shannon from 100% Hockey. John, thank you for doing this today, my friend.
How are you?
Good, good, good. You got to deal with me today. Jamie's off. So,
well, the questions will be better then.
All right. So Bouchard signs for 4 years, $10.5 million per year. That just came down. Aaron Ekblad, 8 years, $6.1 million per year. So that is going to infuriate Oiler fans. And the tax-free state thing keeps getting dismissed. Where do you put it in the priority list for players? Is it up there, or is it something they don't consider?
Well, I think it does get some consideration, but I think it gets overblown. Because let's remember, you get taxed on the games you play in which state or which province. So, in theory, Aaron Ekblad will play 43 games in Florida. 41 for his home team and then 2 in Tampa.
Okay.
So, but then when you go to New York State, you pay New York State tax. California, the same thing. So it's not as totally divisive as everybody thinks it is. I also think that there are different factors. If you're on the big end of a contract, and all you have to do is look at how many commercials Connor McDavid has versus how many commercials Aaron Ekblad has, there is an advantage to playing in a hockey crazy market in a hockey crazy country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it in the end, in many ways, it might work out a lot closer to even than people realize.
Well, and Canadian players in Canada are paid in U.S. dollars, so that sort of takes that conversation, that off the table as well. But it still is frustrating, and Oiler fans, I'm one, are going to be comparing the dollars that Oiler defensemen make, right?
Yeah.
And when they both come down within the same couple of hours, and I know that Ekblad and Bouchard are two completely different defensemen, but still. Anyway, I will move on.
The apples to oranges, it's an apples to oranges scenario. First of all, both players wanted to play in the cities that they signed in, obviously. Aaron Ekblad did not want to leave. And so he was prepared to take a pay cut in order to stay. So that's in many ways why things happen, and what it speaks to in many ways is not necessarily the tax situation, not necessarily living in the United States versus living in Canada.
Yeah.
But what I really think it speaks to, Locker, is the camaraderie and the chemistry that they've built in Florida. That people don't want to leave. That people are happy there. Look, Sam Bennett could have made a lot more money on the open market and stayed for 8x8. So I think that this is a classic case of a team and a group of players understanding what they have going for them, and they took and Aaron Ekblad took a hometown discount in order to try to win a third consecutive Stanley Cup.
John, before we move on, do you think that Marchand's going to end up staying in Florida too?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, he's going to get rich. Could it be in Florida? Could it be in Boston again? Could it be in Toronto? Could it be in Los Angeles? I think all of those teams will express interest in him. The only team that can really talk to him right now is Florida. And so that's Brad's going to have to make that decision, whether it's he wants to wait or he wants to do the deal with the Panthers right now and have a pretty good situation that we've already talked about in terms of the Ekblad deal.
You bring up an interesting point with the only team that Marchand can talk to right now is Florida, just based on what's happening with Marner. And the Leafs have been busy over the last little while. They lock up John on Friday, Matthew Nyes today. We don't need to get into the details of those contracts, but do you think that the league is going to make an example of Vegas and Marner if they can dig up some sort of tampering conversation here or proof of it? You don't think it's going to happen? Okay.
No, because he's been traded to Vegas now.
Okay.
It has been done, and that he will go and play and sign an 8-year deal. The deal was done with the Maple Leafs, 8 times 12.
Yeah.
And then what happens is that deal gets traded to the Golden Knights, and we still haven't heard what the compensation is. And the other thing is, I do think that Brad Marchand's going to sign in Florida. I think he's going to stay.
Wow. That's unbelievable. What did you think of the NHL draft on Friday? Well, on Saturday.
I didn't watch much on Saturday, I'll be honest. And one of the reasons was, I'm not sure that fourth round pick for the Jets or the Oilers was at the top of my list of who he was and what he was.
Yeah.
So it's difficult for me to sit there and watch it and just watch some names. I thought Friday was a gallant attempt to try something new. But I certainly hope that we end up going back to the old style of a full arena with all the teams on the floor of the arena talking to each other, kind of almost like a political convention.
You kind of lose something, too, with the player not being able to connect with the team that just, I don't know. It was clunky. I mean,
it was. It was, and... but this is what the teams wanted to try, and I do think that there will be a movement amongst the teams to go back to what we've seen in past years. So we'll see what the vote is this time. The vote was 26-6 the last time, so that's a pretty good majority that most of the teams wanted to try this remote draft. And I'm sure from a planning stage and from a logistical stage, the teams like this system.
Mm.
But because all of their computer workings, all of their research, as everything's in their own home office, and you can have a lot more privacy there than you can on the floor of an arena. But at the same time, I think they lost a tremendous impact to the hardcore hockey fan who ends up watching these types of things.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, so this decentralized draft experiment looks like it might just be that, just an experiment. That's good news. The other thing that I have on the list of things to talk to you about, just quickly, is there anything from the new CBA? Obviously, it hasn't been completely ratified yet, John, but there's some interesting things in there, the full-time e-bugs, the 84-game schedule, no player dress codes. You can get a little bit deeper into it. They're shutting some of the LTIR loopholes.
I think that's the biggest thing.
That's huge, eh?
I think that's the biggest thing, that you have to remain cap compliant in the playoffs. Now, what that means is on a daily basis, the NHL is going to have to keep a better track of rosters, and the teams are going to have to be a lot more open about who's on their roster, and then when they file the lineups, that they are cap compliant. Because what you don't want is you don't want to name a lineup at 6:30 and at 6:45 you get a call from Central Registry of the NHL saying, "Oh, you guys are over. You can't play that lineup." So now we're at least a season away from that occurring, but it's certainly to me a step in the right direction.
I got a couple of things I want to touch on with you. I'm a fan of the podcast with you and Darren, 100% Hockey, and you had a conversation with Vernon Krause. Now, not many people are going to have any idea who that guy is, nor are they going to understand what his connection is to hockey. And so I hung in there, and I was like, okay, all right, we'll all give you guys the benefit of the doubt here. They're talking to somebody that wants to move a hockey team to Atlanta. It sounds crazy, but he's an Atlanta business owner. And if you had asked me before that conversation, John, whether or not I thought it was a good idea to go back to Atlanta, I would have said, you're insane. You're crazy. By the end of the conversation, I was like, they're going back to Atlanta.
So there's a few things to consider about our discussion last Wednesday with Vernon Krause. First of all, he's invested, and he wouldn't put the number out publicly, but I can tell you, he's invested more than $80 million already in this. To buy the land where the arena is going to go, and then another $30 million in research and logistics. So that's one aspect. And design, right?
That doesn't guarantee him a team.
No.
But that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money when you consider that the Columbus Blue Jackets got into the league for $80 million. You know, he's been warned that the price for an expansion team could be between $1.5 and $2 billion. He doesn't flinch at that. The other thing is that this team would not play in downtown Atlanta. It would play in the suburbs, about a 30 to 40-minute drive from Atlanta. And if you've ever been to Atlanta, Atlanta has the worst traffic in the history of mankind. And it's in a county called Forsyth County, which is the 12th most prosperous county in the United States. So there's lots of people, and there's lots of money. And what they're trying to create is an area like we've seen at LA Live, like we've seen at Maple Leaf Square, like Ice District in Edmonton. They're trying to get something like that. And this is called The Gathering at South Forsyth. And he thinks he can pull it off if he gets a team. And it's a classic chicken and an egg situation, Locker, where he'll get the arena if he gets the team, and Gary's saying, well, if you get the arena, you'll get the team, given the price. So everything has to fall into place properly. They're going to meet with the commissioner this summer, and hopefully we're going to get closer to an understanding of what a 33rd team in the NHL will look like.
Well, and, you know, we don't need to get into it any further, but again, what you guys had to say with your conversation with Vernon Krause, the potential owner of the next NHL franchise, you know, at the end of it, like I said, I was like, oh my goodness, we're going back to Atlanta. That's unbelievable. Anyway, I got to let you go, John, but the next time we have you back, I really want to get your, we don't have enough time right now, but I really would love to get your thoughts on Don Cherry and that final podcast. It looks like he's not coming back with his son, Tim, but I want to give you more time to speak to that and to speak to Don, but I appreciate your time today, John.
Anytime.
Thank you very much, my friend. John Shannon from 100% Hockey. And again, that was a very interesting conversation with that person. I think he's a car dealership owner, Vernon Krause. And it looks like he is on the cusp of getting a new team in Atlanta. Again, if you want to weigh in on whether or not this Riders squad is a 4-0 team, in your opinion, is what you're seeing, is this a 4-0 team? Perfect so far this season. Text the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, the Green Zone, Jamie Locker, I'm Locker by myself. So the Mitch Marner deal comes down while we're on the air with John. He kind of alluded to it. $12 million and 8 years. So what he did to avoid the tampering situation, although I have been reading that the NHL is still going to look into it. So he did the deal with Toronto. So Toronto then transfers that deal over to Vegas. So I don't know if that completely protects you from the tampering conversation, but there it is, Marner. Big day. Leafs have been just busier than crazy. So we're the last day of June. We got Canada Day tomorrow. For those of you celebrating around the grill, coming up next, 5 Canada Day tailgate barbecue tips with a friend of mine, Ryan Lindley. And I'm going to bounce this off of Belton when we have him on after 5 today. All right? This includes a very, very controversial tip revolving around beer can chicken. All right? Again, that's next on the Green Zone, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. I'm Locker. Jamie's off for the bye week. Want to hear a Canadian tune? Fire Scotty, the producer, a quick text. 877-332-8255. He'll try to get something in. We sort of continued from Friday and playing nothing but Canadian music. So there you go. A little Alanis Morissette. Paul Appley still to come. We'll get to him at 4 o'clock. Head coach of the senior men's national flag football team. A lot of conversation about the performance of our team in Los Angeles in a international, do we call it a friendly? I think they were calling it friendly. Anyway, that's coming up. I'm very interested to get his thoughts on what Pat McAfee said about Canada and flag football as well. And send us a text, give us a call, 877-332-8255. Is this a 4-0 team?
Second and 8 from Mayer. Back to A.J. Lynn again. Looking for the end zone. Touchdown, Riders! A big day for A.J. Lynn.
This is the Green Zone. My name is Locker, and we don't have Jamie this week. He'll be back next week. Takes the bye weeks off when the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are doing their bye weeks. We get a break from Jamie Nye. On the phone with me right now is a friend of mine. I have known him for years. His name is Ryan Lindley. Now, Ryan is a host of a podcast called Getting Sauce. Ryan, you competed in barbecue too, did you not?
Yeah. I've done competitions here and there. Bad TV shows and those sorts of things. But yeah,
worse podcasts.
Absolutely.
I know Linz because we've worked together in the broadcasting area of podcasting. And if you get a minute, you're on Substack as well, right?
Yeah, it's just my name. It's ryanlindley.substack.com, and you can catch some old episodes are on there, podcasts, lots of articles, food stuff. It's a fun place.
Now, what we're doing is we're setting everybody up for Canada Day. And what we want to do is we want to do 5 tips on barbecuing. Now, we have a resident barbecue expert on the Green Zone and on CJME and CKOM. His name is Belton Johnson. He is a former Saskatchewan Rough Rider that now calls Saskatchewan home, and he does cooking segments. He feeds his co-hosts, Jamie and Daryl, before the games, and he's quite well known around these parts. So, but he also works a normal job, and he is on a little later on at 5. I'm going to give him the tips that you give me, and he's going to give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down on your tips. Okay.
Ooh, no pressure.
I'm thinking, Linz, I want him to give me the thumbs down on one of the tips that we're going to get into, which I know we talked beforehand that you and I don't agree on. So maybe save that one for the end. All right. So sure. For those of you that are planning on doing anything for Canada Day, this also will translate well into obviously some tailgating if you're a big tailgater. And listen, maybe you want to send me your tips as well. You can text them in through the course of the afternoon as well. So Linz, tip number 1, Canada barbecuing?
Tip number one for me is a big one. It's the most important, I think, and that is when you're cooking steak, if you're going to barbecue steak, you want to take that steak out of the fridge at least an hour or two before it actually hits the grill. You do not want to put a cold steak on a hot grill because it will not cook evenly. So you let that thing sit. We have some of the best quality beef in the world in this country, and you don't need anything to worry about, you know, bacteria. Just leave it sitting out. Let it sit out.
Okay.
Put some salt and pepper on it. Let it sit.
Yeah, and you, I've phoned you when I spent too much money on a steak because I don't want to ruin it. And
yep.
You've told me just a little bit of salt and pepper. Just
That's it. Pat it dry. You don't want to mask it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You don't marinate good beef. You don't mask good flavor. If you spent a ton of money on like a good old ribeye or a big, you know, tomahawk, which I think is a waste of money. You're just paying for a bone. But the steak itself is good. You don't want to mask it. You want the flavor of that steak.
Okay. Awesome. So that's a good tip. Okay, I like that one. Tip number two for your Canada Day barbecuing.
Ditch the propane and get yourself a charcoal grill, okay? And I'm not saying this is an answer for everybody, but if you're serious about barbecue and you want to barbecue, the proper old-fashioned way is, in my opinion, the best way. I don't own a propane grill anymore. I own three charcoal grills. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but she never complains about the food. She just complains about the money I spend, right? So you're gonna have far more far better time with charcoal, and so will whoever's eating your food.
Is natural gas better than propane though?
Yes, it is. It burns a little hotter, I believe. It's either hotter or colder. I have to look that up. Sorry, you got me on the spot. I don't know much about propane or gas.
I think propane's hotter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Because I've been burning a lot more with propane over the years. Yeah.
Oh, really, eh?
Yeah, I get a lot more flare-ups on a propane grill, and now we have a natural gas, and it seems way more even.
That rolls me into tip number three.
Okay.
Tip number three is slow down. Whatever you think, you do not have to cook it on high. You can preheat your grill on high, that's fine, but as soon as you hit the temperature you need, you got to pull those knobs back if you're using propane. Or if you're using charcoal, you got to temper your vents a little bit and make sure that you're not just blasting at 1,000 degrees, because you're gonna burn whatever you're eating. And that goes for a steak, that goes for a pork chop, that goes for a hot dog. You're gonna burn it. So stop doing that. You're gonna end up with raw in the middle and burnt on the outside.
See, that's no fun though, because then you can't say, now that's a fire. Anyway, all right. These are good tips.
What you're going for.
I think Belton is gonna really appreciate these tips. Okay, number four, Ryan Lindley.
Number four, if we are talking charcoal. And we're talking the old style way of cooking. You need to ditch the lighter fluid. You need to ditch the barbecue fluid. You need to ditch those self-lighting charcoal briquettes. That does nothing but impart flavor. I don't care how long you burn it. And you think that the flavor's gone, I can't smell anymore. That's going to translate into your food. And it's not good for you either. I'm not one of those purist guys like where I'm going to say, you know, everything causes cancer and illness and everything else. But it actually does. And it's not good. And it just tastes like crap. So just ditch it. Get yourself some nice lump charcoal.
Okay.
The stuff that just looks like burnt wood, like those big, big hunky chunk things. And get yourself a charcoal chimney. You can get them at any hardware store, sells them for about $20. It looks like a big, huge mug, really. And then you fill that thing with charcoal. You light a bit of newspaper underneath it inside the grill. Let the coals light up. And then you dump them into the barbecue.
Okay, that's actually a good advice as well. And then tip number five for Canada Day barbecuing or tailgating, if you want to take your expertise to the game.
Well, this is the controversial one, isn't it?
This is the one that you and I fought about for about a week, I think, after you told me this.
I flew across the country to prove you wrong on this, if you recall, at one point. And that is beer can chicken. Absolute myth. Stop doing it. Stop wasting good beer on a chicken that could just be better without it.
Okay,
cook the chicken.
So putting the beer and putting the spices in the beer and then cooking the chicken with the beer can in the middle of it does nothing. It doesn't transfer the spices or flavor. It doesn't moisten it. It doesn't.
No. Hands down, no. What you're doing is you're creating a blockage. You're not getting any heat in there now. So now you just have an aluminum can against the flesh inside that chicken. The beer, your chicken, it finishes at 160 degrees. Beer boils at 212 degrees. You're never reaching that boiling point to vaporize that beer. So it's not going to do anything. And even if it did, it's going to get the neck hole, maybe, you know, like it'll get to where the neck hole is. And okay, so the little part there they call the Pope's nose, that'll taste great. But it still won't do that. I'm telling you, it doesn't work.
I'm telling you, my chicken is more moist when I jam a can of beer inside of it and cook it for 45 minutes to an hour.
I promise you it isn't. You're wasting a beer as a chicken stand, and you could do that with anything else. You could just stand it up. Your best way to cook a chicken on a grill is the spatchcock method.
Yeah,
and that's where you take some kitchen shears and you cut the spine out of the chicken, you crack it in half.
Yeah,
and you lay it flat down. You want that Maillard reaction, it's called. You want that caramelization of the skin, even on the inside, because that's going to impart flavor. It's going to seal those juices into the rest of the bird for you if that part is sealed off. You're sealing it off essentially with the can, but you're not giving it any chance to get any heat in there. You're not getting that flavor. The bones let go, the cartilage and the collagen and the fats that are inside that bird. They don't have the chance to do that because you've taken a cold beer and jammed it inside of a chicken, and you're hoping that it's all going to come together at the same time, and it's not going to.
I still do it, even though you've told me that it's useless. I still, to this day, Linz, will cook a chicken with a beer.
It looks neat. Yeah, it looks neat. It's a cool little party trick, whatever. It looks nice on your grill when you have friends over.
I put some seasoning in that half of a beer. Right, because I drink the first half. Yeah. Anyway,
I'm telling you, Locke, just try it once for me. Get yourself a good dry rub for your bird. Even you can wet brine it overnight in like a salt brine. You just put the bird in a brine that just covers it, kind of like we do with turkeys. Let it dry out in the fridge. You pull it out for the day, let it sit in the fridge, open air, and then rub it with whatever dry rub that you want. Throw it in that barbecue when it's cracked in half. I promise you, it's going to be the most delicious chicken that you can get.
I am very interested to hear what Belton Johnson has to say about the beer can chicken. He's in at 5 o'clock on the Green Zone today. All right, let's review our tips 1 through 5. Ryan Lindley from Getting Sauced podcast. Tip number one again, quickly.
Steak. Make sure it's sitting out. Let it rest. Let it get some.
At least an hour, you were saying, right? You want to leave it out.
Yeah, at least an hour. You want to try and get it to room temperature.
Okay.
As long as the room isn't, you know, 100 degrees, but you want it to be not fridge cold.
Canada Day barbecue tip number two.
Number two is charcoal over gas. Try to up your game a bit. Get your flavor work it. You can smoke things. It's just so much more versatile on charcoal, doing it the old primitive way, and your flavors are going to be better.
Okay, number three was slow down.
Yeah, you got to slow down, just like me on the radio. You got to slow down, and you got to take that dial. You turn it back just a little bit. Don't think you have to cook everything in 5 minutes. Take your time. Have a beer. Relax. Let that meat come together. Let that fat render. Let that collagen dissolve. Like you end up with more tender meat that way.
Tip number four, Lindley.
That is get rid of the accelerants. Get rid of the fluids. Get rid of the charcoal briquettes. Go to the old lump style stuff if you're doing charcoal, and get yourself a charcoal chimney. It'll change your life.
And the very controversial tip number five for your Canada Day barbecuing or tailgating.
absolutely no controversy. Hands down, stop doing it.
The beer can chicken.
Stop doing beer can chicken, guys. I promise you, you'll up your game. You'll up your game immediately if you try it the other way.
There you go. Your Canada Day tailgate barbecue tips from my buddy Ryan Lindley from the Getting Sauced podcast. What are your tips if you want to fire them at us? 877-332-8255. I'm telling you this. The beer can chicken thing works. I'm going to keep doing it. And no, Cameron, I do not have a fetish. It's nothing to do with it. I'm telling you, it works. Makes the chicken moister. All right. Again, if you have a tip, Green Zone Fan Line, 877-332-8255. 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. Playing Canadian tunes here on the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker. I'm Locker. Jamie is off for the bye week. Just got off the phone with my buddy Ryan Lindley from the Getting Sauced podcast. I'll be bouncing these tips off of Belton when we have him on just after 5 today. We'll get his thoughts on the football game this past Saturday as well. And tip number one from Lindley was don't put a cold steak on a hot grill. Tip number two, charcoal over gas or propane. Tip number three, slow down. Tip number four, stop using accelerants. It ruins the taste of your barbecue. Tip five, beer can chicken is a myth. And Linz and I have been fighting about that one for years. Glenn, where are you on the beer can chicken?
You know, Locker, I've got a thing. It's sort of like a bowl underneath, and it's got a column that you put the ass of the chicken on.
Yeah.
You can put broth. You can put beer. You can put anything you want out there. But I put my vegetables in the bowl, put my chicken on there, and the juices from the chicken go through there. It's just... No, it's not the healthiest thing for you, but it is so friggin' good. It really is.
Hold on. So you let the grease from the chicken drip into a bowl underneath?
Where I've got my vegetables, like potatoes, onions.
Did you buy a specific beer can chicken for that? Like a holder or whatever?
I have a device for that. Yeah. It's pottery. It's pretty cool. I just got it at... Bianca Amores, eh? But it was
nice.
A cool thing. And my daughter loved it so much. She said, oh, where do I get that? So I bought her one. But
that's
great.
I have not seen that. I just got the it's a tray that catches the grease, but I never thought of putting anything in there and cooking the vegetables underneath of it.
Oh, you can do the best. Like put rice and mushrooms in there, like and chicken over top. Oh, my God. It's good. Very good.
I'm heading out early now.
Yeah. Also, regarding his comment about gas grills, like I've got a gas grill, and okay, if you're a charcoal snob, that's fine. But the nice thing about a gas grill, you can control your temperature.
Yeah.
I just have a smoker box. Like I put mesquite wood or hickory or whatever, and I just get it good and hot. You know, make sure your grill is really good and hot before you put your meat on. And he's right. Like, make sure that meat is at room temperature. Like you want to keep it cool before, but give it an hour or so it. Actually, I've got a steak on right now. I'm not on the barbecue, but I'm
you can pull it out of the fridge. Yeah. Well, and that takes planning, right? And that's yep. part of it. So you obviously take this very serious. Do you have any spices or anything like that? Like,
yeah, I lather it with a bit of garlic and then Saskatchewan steak sauce seasoning is what I use, and that, like, I you know, salt and pepper is okay, but I love the extra stuff they have in that, and you know, Montreal steak spice too, but the Saskatchewan steak spice is just awesome in my opinion.
Glenn, thank you for reaching out, and I appreciate the support on the beer can chicken, my friend. Thank you.
No problem. Can I ask you one question, though, Locker?
Yeah, Glenn, make her quick. I gotta get out here.
I was going to like Canadian music, Rush, Spirit of the Radio. But you just got me scratching my head about Rush. Like they've got some
that. Hold on, Glenn. I got to cut you out. That's a much more involved conversation. The Rush thing. We'll talk later. We'll talk later. Okay, big guy.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. All right. And again, standing by, we have got Paul LaPolice. He is the head coach of the Canadian senior men's flag football team. They recently had a tournament, which they did very, very well, that caught the attention of Pat McAfee. Paul LaPolice standing by, 980 CGME and 650 CKOM.